A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 26, 1994, entitled Eucharist, Memory, Presence, Hope. The scripture readings are Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 3, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, and Mark 14, verses 12 through 25. The texts for the sermon are Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, and Mark 14, verses 22 and 24. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
In the first service, there was a young pastor who's in between assignments. He's on his way to a new assignment, and he stopped in here for a Sunday morning worship, and he said to me, "I've heard a lot about this place, and I wanted to stop before I went go on to so-and-so." He said, "Strange the things you hear." He said, "I heard you preached in a rocking chair." Well, I said, "It sort of has that effect on the congregation, but I just always use this stool." We had a reading from the old Hebrew scriptures, the institution of the Passover, or at least an instruction to keep the Passover, one of the great feasts of Israel to celebrate their deliverance from Egypt, the Exodus. And we read the account of the Apostle Paul, probably the earliest Christian account of the celebration of the Lord's Supper or communion or the Eucharist feast. And we read the institution itself in Mark's Gospel. If I were to read a contemporary lesson, I would read from one of our own who wrote to me recently, "As I listen to the minister retell the Last Supper story and present the bread and the cup heavenward, I become drawn into a place of wonder and awe, a holy place where I may begin to experience a little bit of God in my own life. My head stops being in charge, and for those moments I become a child again, a child who's been allowed to a glimpse of the heavenly. I feel infused with the love and, for just a fleeting moment, the understanding of God. It is the holiest of moments for me. My fellow participants become at the deepest level my brothers and sisters in Christ in an almost tangible way. I have yet to participate in a Eucharist celebration at Christ Community with dry eyes. For a brief time on those Sundays, I'm able to let go of my head, of my intellectual faith, questions, and doubts, and experience faith on a deeper level. It is a level that is more enriching and rejuvenating, a nourishing faith that can sustain me throughout the week. Would that that would happen to each of us every time the table is set. In this congregation, the table is set every Lord's Day, the early service, and from time to time at the second service, as today. It is an experience of the presence of God that comes in a unique fashion under the elements of bread and wine. We look at the sacraments now because it's the season of Pentecost, and I want to connect the participation with the Spirit of God, because participation in itself can become empty ritual. But bathed in prayer and received in faith, it becomes a means of grace. It becomes a moment of encounter. It becomes experience. last week at the baptismal font, prayer for God to breathe through the water. And today, if you followed the liturgy, the invocation of the Holy Spirit to make this bread and this wine, body and blood to us, to enliven the material with the spiritual, God's Spirit or God's wind or God's breath. Wind, Spirit, breath, the Hebrew word ruach, which means wind or spirit or breath, which is tangible, which is energy, which is energizing. Jesus said of the Spirit, it blows and you don't see it, but you see the tree, the leaves waving because there is an energy there. And so, in our Christian experience, in any religious experience that is genuine experience of God, it is the breathing of God. It is the present moment, the reality of the living God in our experience. The one who writes to me is fortunate, I believe, for she was raised in the Catholic tradition where there was developed a hunger for the sacrament. The elders in Geneva in the 16th century knew that the sacrament had become a routinized, too often mechanical, magical ritual. And so they instituted the practice that has continued in the Reformed tradition to the present, where in our tradition, according to our rules of order, it is a quarterly celebration, 4 times a year. And as you've heard me say many times, what actually happened is that the good intention to make it special has backfired in that it has become optional. You cannot develop a taste for the Eucharist taking it 4 times a year. The opening word of the Old Testament lesson was observe. And that word observe or observance is often connected with religious ritual. Thomas More says in The Care of the Soul that we are to observe our soul. We are to become attentive to ourselves. We are to become aware of ourselves. What's going on in us? What are we thinking? What are we feeling? What are we experiencing? Take a step back, reflect on ourselves, be self-reflective in order to understand what's going on in us. Awareness or attention. To observe. The serve and observe is an old word that comes from tending sheep. It's though we were tending our soul. But that word then goes with the practice of religious rituals too. We observe Holy Communion. We observe the sacrament of baptism. And in the observation, something happens to us. If that observation becomes a part of us. Not if it's an incidental once in a while, but if it is a regular keeping, a regular observance, it begins to shape us. You don't have to observe Christmas. You can be Scrooge. You don't have to trim the tree and hang the socks and wrap the presents. And you don't have to do any of that. You could just come to church. That's what it's all about. But if you don't trim the tree and hang the socks and delight the children, your Christmas will indeed be a kind of Scrooge-like experience. But if you trim the tree and wrap the presents and create the aura, If you observe Christmas, you will experience Christmas. The world becomes a softer place at Christmas. Miracle of miracles, year after year. There is something in the observing that washes over us and shapes us and forms us. And it's no different with the celebration of the Eucharist. In the observing of it, there is a forming in us. Well, as my correspondent said, for a moment the mind, the brain stops, and I'm open to pure experience, kind of depth moment, a holy moment, a fleeting moment of knowing God's presence. Eucharist is a commemorative sacrament. That is, we do it again and again and again. We do it in regular fashion in order that that to which it points might be brought to us again and again. The baptismal, that's initiatory. Once is enough. Marked as belonging eternally. One baptism, many feasts at the table of our Lord. The background of that, just like the background of that, was Israel's experience. That sacrament parallels the sign of circumcision in the old experience of Israel. And this table parallels the Passover feast. It was a feast which Israel celebrated annually in order to remember and to hope and in the meantime to experience the presence. The instruction to Israel was that they were to eat in a fashion that would remind them of that night when they were delivered from the bondage of Pharaoh's Egypt, when with mighty hand God set them free. They were to roast the lamb and they were to eat bitter herbs, so that they would remember the years of affliction, remember that from which God had sprung them free. And in the contemporary celebration of that feast, still in the Jewish tradition, as Rabbi David Hartman said recently in Muskegon, he told about the celebration of the Cedar Supper in his own family. He said the little children would watch as he would, after at the end of the meal, he would pour the cup of wine for Elijah. And they would say, "Daddy, will Elijah come?" And he'd say, "Shh, shh, listen. Maybe he'll come. Close your eyes. Is he coming?" And then children will be children. They'd say, "You know, Daddy, if he would drink our cup at our cedar feast, and all the cups at all the cedar feasts, he wouldn't be able to walk." In which the rabbi said, "Oh, if you're the prophet Elijah, you can handle all the chalices of all the cedar feasts." And they celebrate that supper. And the door is always open. And the youngest child is sent out to the open door to see if Elijah is coming. Fantasy, huh? Fantasy. You ever put cookies and milk out for Santa Claus? So your children know that when he stops by on Christmas Eve, he'll have a snack and maybe be generous? Fantasy, huh? Yeah. Like pouring the cup for Elijah and leaving the door open. Because we need to live with hope and expectation. The cry of the Jewish family is next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. I wonder what it was the first time that the Jews actually returned to Israel and a family sat down for their cedar meal, when all those years they had said, "The next time in Jerusalem." Doesn't it give you goosebumps to think of it? Do you think that anything is afoot in the world? Is God doing anything in the world? Do you live with any kind of hope? I don't know how it will happen. Jesus said, I won't drink this again until I come in the kingdom. Obviously, he thought he was on the edge at the end, and he wasn't, was he? Here we are 2,000 years later. Paul certainly said, we'll not all die, but we'll all be changed. Paul expected, well, it hasn't happened now, but Jesus is risen. That's the first fruits. The first fruits have the harvest follow very soon. It hasn't happened. Jesus was wrong. Paul was wrong. So what? Wrong in terms of the immediate end of things, but not wrong in terms of the ultimate set of the heart, which is a set of hope and anticipation, a believing that whenever, however, this God who has been in our past, this God who has met us in the past and intervened in our life, come to us in the Word made flesh, in Jesus, this God is the God of our future, the one from whom we have come, the one who has come to us, the one to whom we go, the one who is coming to us. And in the meantime, in this in-between time, the God who is with us, breathing, 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 breathing in water that marks us as belonging, breathing in bread that becomes body, breathing in wine that becomes blood. It's all so wonderful. It's a great pageant. There's a way to live between memory and hope, sustained in the present moment. Mind shut down. Just open that if just in a fleeting moment I might be present to God and God present to me. Well, did it happen this morning? Doesn't always happen. It's not something that's automatic. It's not something that's magical. But did it happen this morning? Was there a taste of bread and wine that said to you, God has been gracious, God will be gracious, God has marked me, God will enfold me, and even now, dear God, I know, here, face to face, now in bread and wine, but one day, with unveiled face, we shall behold him and we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, what manner of love with which you have been loved, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are now, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Between memory and hope, just now, just a moment, a fleeting moment, and I know the reality of the presence of the living God. Thank God.